I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Mr. Chairman, there are two very important people that you subpoenaed early on, or excuse me, that you asked to voluntarily cooperate. They didn't schedule their interviews. Now there's a subpoena. But Bill and Hillary Clinton, if they continue to duck you, will you take them to court? Will you try to enforce a subpoena? Will you go the Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro route?
100%. We're going to go that route. We expect to hear from Bill and Hillary Clinton. Look, Donald Trump's answered questions for years about Jeffrey Epstein. Every day he gets asked questions about Epstein and he answers them in front of the American people. We've subpoenaed Republicans and Democrats. Two Republicans have come forward, Bill Barr and Alex Acosta. They did interviews and deposition, and those were tough, but they did them. They didn't back down. Other Democrats have sent letters that saying they knew nothing about Epstein, which would hold in court if something ever comes out that they did know something, then they committed perjury there. But the Clintons have never responded. They're the one group in this investigation that's never had to answer questions in front of a credible reporter, and they've never certainly answered questions from attorneys or members of Congress. So we expect the Clintons to come in, or I expect the Clintons to be met with the same fate that Bannon and Navarro were met with when the Democrats were in control.
And that would mean behind bars. That is Congressman Comer. I would not expect that to actually happen. He is with the House Oversight Committee, but I do not believe that he's going to end up having Bill and Hillary Clinton behind bars if they refuse to comply with subpoenas and testify under oath. It's a game at this point. But it is true. They've taken testimony from numerous others regarding Jeffrey Epstein and all the documents that they have in hand at this point. But that doesn't mean all the questions are answered, does it? Every time you turn around, there's something new. Does not necessarily mean it's a breaking story, but it does mean that it's new. And we need another answer. Congressman Comer is going to do his best to make sure we get those answers. Good for him. Good for the American public. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA, reminding you we're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, you can watch the program live. How do you do that? Well, you go to News Talk STL Rumble, Larry Connors USA Rumble. You can also pull up the podcast later at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook. And also remember, if you listen or watch at a later point, there is a part on the screen you simply push share, and bang, you multiply it. It goes to all of your friends, even your enemies. And believe me, I love it. I truly love it when you take this program and you send it to someone you know is a diehard lefty who's never going to move. They're cemented in place. I don't care how many facts you give them or put on front in front of them. They're just not going to move. They've got their mind made up. On this program, we do not have our mind made up on everything. I have a lot of questions, and some of them are not good for the Trump administration, nor MAGA people. But at the same time, I think they deserve answers. What we have, though, right now is a failure to communicate. Go right back to Cool Hand Luke. It's a failure to communicate because the Clintons had never answered a single question regarding Epstein. Not directly, and not under the threat of perjury. And therein lies a solid point. Riddle me this. And this is a twofold question. Both sides of this knife are sharp. Riddle me this. Do you think, oh my God, the fact I'm even asking this, do you think Bill Clinton would be willing to go to jail for perjury on behalf of Hillary? Oh, Larry, you're stupid. Well, I might be. In fact, I am. I'll admit it. But the other part of that blade, the other side, one of the chances of Hillary willing to go to jail for perjury charges to protect Bill. There's what you have, slim, none, and oh, you just got run over. No way will she do that. But if we get them in front of a panel, start getting answers and questions that we want answered, good, because we are going to make sure that we do. Now, if you're looking for additional background on dealing with these folks, because they do have a lot of material still behind them, you also need to keep in mind folks like Hakeem Jeffries. Yes, Hakeem Jeffries. What does he have to do with Epstein? Actually, on one hand, nothing. And yet on the other hand, he saw this as an opportunity, not for the American people, of course not, but for his own little piggy bank.
Colleagues' coordination with Epstein. Another email shows Democrat fundraisers invited Epstein to an event or to meet privately with Hakeem Jeffries as part of their 2013 effort to win a majority. So Hakeem Jeffries' campaign solicited money from Jeffrey Epstein. That's what we found in the last document batch. The files underscore why former President Trump must appear for his deposition. We've subpoenaed him. To date, the Democrats have done nothing to help us secure his appearance. I support full transparency. The Oversight Committee will continue to work to get the truth to the American people and to get justice for the victims. That's our goal of this investigation. With that, I yield back.
Yeah. And I would like to get some of those answers, too. And I would also like to ask, Hakeem, how much money did you raise on that? And the whole point, of course, was to go after Trump and link him to Epstein. And you were out there making money on it. You and your cohorts. Well, we know those surrounding you. They would do anything to get any kind of money they can. Now, there's still one other issue regarding Epstein. This would involve Joe Biden. Now, I'm going to tell you in advance what you're going to hear. So then you'll hear it. Then I'll tell you again what you did hear. Because the woman speaking is often off track so many different ways. She is her own personal train wreck, believe me. That would be Texas Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett. She made the point of saying, look, we were asked, why didn't we look into Epstein? Bill and Hillary were there and I was there. I mean, why should we? Because Joe Biden, we did not run on the Epstein case. We were working on how to make the lives better for the American people. So don't blame us. She's already trying to sneak out.
We were gone for about 2 months because we couldn't talk about Jeffrey Epstein. And now everybody wants to act as if they want to have like a real honest conversation about the victims and the survivors and everybody else. Where was this conversation a long time ago? And I know that y'all love to go back and say that Joe Biden didn't do it. You know, Joe Biden is blamed for everything. Joe Biden didn't do anything and it was Joe Biden's fault. And why mm-hmm. wouldn't Joe Biden didn't campaign on it. Mm-hmm. I just want to be clear. If y'all can run me the tape, then run me the tape. But you know, when you campaign and you go out and you make a promise, then we evaluate whether or not you actually meet your promises. So listen, this was rope that y'all decided to hang yourselves with because the president campaigned on the Epstein files while we were campaigning on things such as affordability.
Oh, I don't remember you guys campaigning on affordability. You were campaigning on the fact that we were going to be destroyed by the Republicans economic. I've got more on that coming up, which absolutely shuts down that part of her argument. But I don't remember Joe Biden campaigning on anything other than, here I am, vote for me. That's it. But she wants you to believe that with Joe Biden in place, we weren't focusing on Epstein. We're focusing on helping the American people, as if Jasmine Crockett cares about the American people. She could care less to what happened to you and your family. And every one of those on the radical left inside Congress, right now, they're looking at how do we fill our pockets with as much gold as we can before we walk out of here. Either before we run out of here or before they carry us out of here. They all have their schemes. In the meantime, we still have to deal with Ukraine, Russia. And in fact, there is a new effort underway. Supposedly, this might lead to some resolution.
Today in Geneva, Switzerland, aimed at ending the war between Russia and Ukraine. These conversations include officials from the U.S., Ukraine, and a variety of European countries, all trying to rally behind Kyiv. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky spoke about the negotiations and a 28-point peace plan that has circulated in recent days.
I have signed a decree on the composition of the Ukrainian delegation and approved all relevant directives. Our representatives know how to protect Ukrainian national interests and exactly what is needed to prevent Russia from carrying out a third invasion, another strike against Ukraine.
Zelensky did not go into details about the 28-point peace plan that would require Ukraine to give up more territory in the east of their country and limit the size of their military. Some U.S. senators say that Secretary of State Marco Rubio told them the plan was a Russian wish list and not the actual plan. A State Department spokesperson responded to those comments saying they were blatantly false, with Secretary of State Rubio saying in an ex post, quote, "The peace proposal was authored by the U.S. It is offered as a strong framework for ongoing negotiations. It is based on input from the Russian side, but it is also based on previous and ongoing input from Ukraine."
In other words, it sounds like, to me, it sounds like wash, rinse, recycle, do it again. But one word has come out from Zelensky. It's saying that he's expecting a full report on the progress of these peace talks. He can expect all day long, but I don't know what he's going to get, and I don't know how much closer we are. I do know this. Hezbollah was holding a funeral today. So sad. So sad, so tragic. Hezbollah holding a funeral today for its top military chief and other military members of its group. They were killed just yesterday with a strike on Beirut. Oh, what a shame. This is the most senior Hezbollah commander to be killed by Israel since November 2024. The assassination comes as Israel has escalated attacks on Lebanon, with the U.S. increasing pressure on the Lebanese government to disarm Hezbollah. And they should. With a group called INS supporters to attend this mass funeral for our great leader, and say we want to take place where this in an area where many people can be involved. Israel has repeatedly bombed Lebanon since its truce, saying it's going after Hezbollah members' infrastructure. See, under the agreement, Hezbollah was to pull forces some 30 miles north of the border with Israel and have its military infrastructure dismantled. That was part of a peace plan. That did not happen. And after the assassination, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu said he will not allow Hezbollah to rebuild its power. So let them keep that in mind. Now, what about Iran? Iran is still something we have to deal with. Hundreds of Iranian-American scholars, professionals, human rights advocates, community leaders from across the U.S., joining former U.S. and European officials in D.C. They're trying to work out what they call a concrete roadmap for Democrat transition in Iran. Did anybody tell the mullahs of Iran that we're going to come in and start a democracy? I don't think they've been included in these talks, and I don't think they would go along with it. But the Free Iran Convention held last Saturday in D.C. under the theme, The Path to a Democratic, Prosperous Republican Iran, did convene with an idea that we'll find some way to bring this all together. You have high hopes. You remember that song? They've got high hopes. At this point, I don't see anything coming around that's going to help them. Oh, a note, footnote here for you. And I make it a footnote because it was going to happen. We knew it would. We'll see what happens next. The federal judge threw out the Justice Department indictments of former FBI Director James Comey and New York Attorney General Letitia James, pointing out that the appointment of President Trump's handpicked prosecutor was invalid. It's okay for them to stack the deck against Republicans. The district judge said, I conclude that all the actions, including securing and signing these indictments, constitute unlawful exercises of executive power and shall be set aside. And I have the same conclusion in the Comey case. There's another member of the judiciary who is basically a wolf in sheep's clothing. Oh, I got to share that with you. I almost overlooked this story. I cannot let this go. This has got to be brought to your attention. There is a report that some sheep that might be transsexual, that they're shearing them to use their wool. Why would I care? Wait till you hear about our economy coming up. There's something to get excited about. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life, without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
What we have been hearing is consumer confidence is up. People are wanting to work. We saw in these numbers and in this report, labor participation rate is up. That is exciting when you think about all of the things that the Department of Labor has been doing, making sure that we're investing in skilling and reskilling the American workforce, working with our career and technical education and our community colleges, recognizing that the trades are a mortgage-paying jobs, and making sure that we can build the data centers, that we have the tradesmen and women ready to go.
That is, of course, how great we're going to be going forward in this new year. We're not yet there. We're not there yet. But we're getting there. That's the Secretary of Labor telling us that we are going to see all this begin to happen as we move forward. Now, I know a lot of folks have been complaining that, you know, I don't know if I'm really paying more or less for my Thanksgiving dinner this time around. The gas prices are down, but maybe the turkey cost is up. Maybe it's not. It probably depends on where you shop. Let's be honest about it. But generally, according to the latest report, is that the traditional Thanksgiving meal at this point is going to cost you less than it would previously. How much less? Well, I'm glad you asked me, because I do have the answer for you. And that is that it's going to end up giving you a chance to buy even more for your Thanksgiving meal. It is down sharply this year, falling to the lowest price since 2021. This is the American Farm Bureau reporting. Now, you could say, well, these are all a bunch of rednecks out on the farm. Yeah, that's exactly what they are. But they know what they're doing. They're the ones who grow our food, harvest our food, cultivate it, and our livestock, as you choose, and that would include fowl. Turkey is a fowl, you know. You didn't know that? Yeah. But they are saying at this point, the 40th annual survey found that a Thanksgiving dinner for 10, you treating 10 to your house? Got room for one more? 10 will cost $55.18, down 5% from last year. I got to tell you, I start thinking about when you're trying to divide this up, what's everybody going to get? Just one. How many drumsticks come on a turkey? Only two, right? Okay. Just want to make sure I got it right. Somebody get a drumstick, someone else get one, and then I guess don't get one. How about the giblet? You want the giblet gravy? You get that. How about the gizzard? Anyway, they're predicting that the cost will be $55.18, down 5% from last year. Since 1986, this is how far back they've gone to do this for you. Volunteers from across all 50 states and Puerto Rico have been organized to record local prices for turkey, cubed stuffing. Don't think I've ever had that. Had oyster stuffing, didn't like it. Like the old cornbread fashion stuffing. Sweet potatoes, yep. Dinner rolls, fresh peas, fresh cranberries, celery, carrots, pumpkin pie mix and crust, whipping cream, and whole milk. I don't see any whiskey in here. No wonder it's way down. Okay. We're going to have a little something to celebrate, right? During the presidency of Joe Biden, with inflation going to the highest pace in 40 years, the price of a classic Thanksgiving meal surged 14% in 2021. Did you hear me? Get the mashed potatoes out of your ear and listen. They went to 21%. Correction, 14% in 2021. His first year in office, it hit a record high of $53.31. Now, again, some of these price increases are transitionary. We understand that, and that was true during the Biden administration. But by Biden's final Thanksgiving, the price of a traditional family holiday was 24% higher than when he took office. I thought I just heard Jasmine Crockett saying, we were concerned about the little people, making sure everybody has everything to eat, that everything might be happy. No, they were busy trying to gut Donald Trump. You heard from the Labor Secretary about how great we're looking on the labor issue. Look at commerce in general, the Commerce Secretary.
It's just setting up for where we're going. You know, the big, beautiful bill starts January 1st. You start getting depreciation. The factories are going to come online. You are going to see job numbers in the second half of next year that are going to blow you away. And these are just the right kind of jobs. We've got to train these people. We've got to get those people in America into the workforce for these great paying jobs. And I think really America, the golden age, which Donald Trump talks about, he is literally saying we are going to build manufacturing in America and these jobs are going to blow the numbers away.
Now, again, this is being said now. My advice to you, let's all do it together. Let's look into next year at some point and look back to that statement, see if it's true. Hold them accountable. I don't care which side you believe in, hold them accountable. Judging by what I've seen, I don't know why they would make up numbers like this. If they had any inkling at all, it's going to take a big dip. I mean, why would you go over the board bragging on something that you know is going to be a flop? Well, that's Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick. Let me give you another viewpoint, just to make sure we're all together on this, because a lot of you are involved in small businesses. You either own or operate your own small business. And you know how tough it is to keep a small business operating. Your margin of profit is often very, very small. Well, again, the SBA administrator, Kelly Loeffler, said, Trump understands that better than anyone else.
There's no one that understands small business and the needs of job creators, of workers, and the families that are coming through the McDonald's drive-thru than President Trump. And he's creating an economy that lifts up all of the above. And that's what he's looking at, is making sure that the regulations that, unfortunately, Joe Biden heaped on Americans on the backs of small businesses are right-sized. And that will make Americans more prosperous. It'll make things more affordable. He's already cut regulations to the tune of about $2,000 per family. And that includes on franchisees. We've got to make sure that it works for the worker, the job creator, and Main Street. And that's what President Trump's economy is all about.
Did you hear her say it's everybody, the worker, Main Street, everybody? The Bidens and the leftists, whatever you believe, it's all about the rich, going to make the rich richer. It's about everybody. We want a tide that lifts all boats for the benefit of our nation. And when you start looking at the numbers all over for what we're going to see coming out in September any day now, the National Economic Council Director, Kevin Hassett, said you're going to be really blown away.
The September numbers were absolutely like hit out of the park. You know, as you said, a double is very rare. But if you dig down into the details, there's actually proof in the pudding that President Trump's policies are really working. And here's what it is, that there was a big surge in construction workers. And we went back and traced it back to, because remember, President Trump said we're going to expense new factory construction. Mm-hmm. In September, we counted 11 major companies that broke ground on new factories and hired those construction workers. And the reason why that's so positive is that those factories are going to fill up with new workers and start making stuff and so on. And so President Trump's policy of onshoring production, creating great jobs for American workers was really, really visible in this report. And of course, it shocked experts because they've been naysayers about the president's policy all along.
Yeah, all along they want to say, no, it's not going to work. See, the negativity that they continue to preach, we would have destroyed this country several times over. I mean, we would have been burning up from global warming. No, take it back. We would have been frozen in ice forever because, oh, I take it back. I think now we'd be burning up. Whatever they want to say, just back off and look at the facts and what's around you. You do know now they're predicting a new ice age is coming. Well, I thought we're supposed to be burning up. The whole world's changing, is it? No, now we're going to have a new ice age. And I might be around to still report on it. You may have to chip the ice away from me, but I'll be here one way or the other. The whole attitude of the left and the legacy media carrying their water for them, if you don't have the steak, sell the sizzle. Just sell the sizzle every time. That'll bring them in. Then they realize, well, there's nothing here. Oh, yeah, well, we forgot about that part. And, of course, then there's a concern about what is going to happen with artificial intelligence. Larry, I'm glad you asked that question because Larry happens to have a good answer when we come back.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
We welcome Tom Shaw Realtors, selling, buying, leasing property all over Missouri, almost 100 years. Call Tom, 314-283-5064, shawrealtors.com. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more 5-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service. I just checked the events planned at Lit Cigar Lounge, so I'm planning a lot of time there. Top-of-the-line cigars, premium whiskey. Check out litstl.com and join me. Hey, and if we get hungry, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, just a few doors down. We can order from the menu, be at our table within minutes. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley and Lit Cigar Lounge, litstl.com.
This is News Talk STL.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched
up all the locks. And how many times have I prayed?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We manufacture the most advanced AI chips in the world, in the most advanced fab in the world, here in America for the first time. All of this started with President Trump wanting to reindustrialize the United States. His tariffs was a pressing agent in making this possible at the speed that we're doing. And now, shortly after less than a year, we're now manufacturing the most advanced chips for AI here in the United States. This is just the beginning of it. With the partnership of the supply chain in Taiwan, TSMC is an incredible partner, a strategic partner for the United States in bringing manufacturing of the most critical sector of technology here to the United States. This is just the starting point, where after that, with Foxconn, Amkor, Spill, Wistron, so many of our other partners, we're going to bring the entire supply chain of building AI infrastructure back here in the United States. By the end of the next 3 or 4 years, we'll probably manufacture, we're on target to manufacture about $500 billion of AI supercomputing technology to be installed here.
That is a pretty fascinating study of what could happen based on artificial intelligence. A lot of folks are worried they're going to be losing jobs. Jobs will probably be cut or reassigned or redeveloped, or folks will be retrained. We're not all going to be dealing with robots on a constant basis. That would never work. You know that. But you've got those out there that still want to tell you that story over and over again. The man you were listening then to at that point, he is, let me get his name exactly right, Jensen Huang. He is already deeply involved as to what we've been doing in advanced AI chips being made in the USA, not having to rely on those outside this country, not having to rely on China, not having to rely on any enterprise they set up somewhere else and it's really stamped China, but doing it on our own. Why should we not? I mean, can I make it as simple as it can be? We're in the midst of World War II. We want to build a nuclear bomb. Let's ask the Germans to build it for us. Right. How would that have gone over? Artificial intelligence is going to change a lot of things, and it will change some jobs. It won't take my job. Yeah, I guarantee it won't take my job. There is no AI chip out there that can do as much BS as I do. And you know that. So I get credit for it. But there are folks that are worried, and rightly so. There are some things we need AI to step in and be done in such a way that it will work better for us. Perfect example, which we're already using it to some extent. The point is, how much deeper do we go? We narrowly have averted a Thanksgiving travel catastrophe as finally senators who were going to do it anyway agreed to accept the proposals in front of them and get everything moving again. But they can claim, no, I was not gonna get involved. I was gonna stay away. I was not gonna go in. Well, they wanted to get home too, you know, and they had to face re-election. Every member of Congress in the House faces re-election every 2 years or sooner, depending on when they were actually put into office. Every member of Senate, every 6 years. And they all knew if we had to go tell our people, you couldn't go to grandma's house, we can't fly her home to you, just have to eat your turkey in the cold by yourself, how far would that go? You ever seen a turkey fly? They're not very good. They're not very good. I mean, they look like a dive bomber headed for the ground. It's going to be a crash, period. But reference AI and what we're going to be able to do about it. There is already talk about maybe what we need to do is move away from current air traffic control and privatize it. There's an article been written in the Federalist I want to share with you. This is by George Bakary. We've had him on before, but I wanted to bring this piece to your attention. He begins by saying, there is no way to run a critical piece of national infrastructure, and it treats controllers as political leverage, saying this is no way to run a critical piece of national infrastructure, and it treats the controllers as political leverage. No, you're right. That does not work. That's like the military. All you guys who don't want to go to work today, just stay home. We're going to be fighting on the west edge of the city. If you're going to join us, come join us. If not, just stay home. How far do you think that would go? Now, we are in a nation now that we don't have conscription. We have volunteer military forces. Not so in Russia nor in Ukraine. Many in Ukraine probably joined once the battle was engaged. Others probably got out. Many of the Russians who realized, if I don't get out of here, I'm going to be sent to the front line. And many of those being held in the gulag in Russia were saying, I'll stay here, thank you. No, you're not. You're going to the front line. If you're going to use people as your leverage, you're going to have a way to make it sure that they do stick to what you want them to do. So the government shutdown ending is hopefully going to help the air control overall, but this is predictable still on so many different levels as a political and structural failure. The author of the piece for the Federalist says it has a clear solution. Get the federal government out of air control traffic business. The airlines, the primary commercial beneficiaries of this essential service, should pay controller salaries. Well, now, before we jump on board with that, what's to keep them from striking and putting everything to a halt? How many of you remember when the air controllers went on strike and Ronald Reagan was president? His message to them was very clear. You either get back to work or you don't have a job. Boy, did they turn back and come to work. He points out that in most commercial sectors, we recognize those who consume a service should pay for it directly. Package delivery is not financed through general tax revenues, you know that. UPS and FedEx customers, you pay when you ship, and you pay for what you're shipping. We don't have a general tax on anybody paying to ship. Rental car fleets, they're not federally funded, are they? Nope. So when costs are socialized but benefits are concentrated, he adds that you should not be surprised at the political gamemanship and underinvestment that now plague the system, and therefore reaching this conclusion. There is no fundamental reason that air traffic control must be a federal government function. Do you buy that argument? Do you buy that? Do you agree that, no, it must be federal government function because we have safety issues and everything else? Well, you have safety issues at every step of various parts of our government, from the FDA to DOT and other issues. The author of the article for the Federalist says the airlines can employ these controllers just as easily as the government does. Private firms manage systems of staggering complexity, global logistics networks, real-time financial markets, just-in-time supply chains that span the planet. And unlike a tax-funded model, all of these systems must be responsive to the users. So how does this fit into air traffic control? And for you, Well, if air traffic control can be managed through a federally chartered nonprofit entity funded by user fees paid by the airlines, this is really not a novel or radical idea. Did you know that? Canada successfully privatized its air navigation system 20 years ago. 20 years ago. It is now a global leader in safety technology. Hey? You want to go to Canada? Hey? Now, I don't know what kind of problems they may or may not have. And, of course, that's just Canada. If you're going in and out of Canada, which most people are going to be going somewhere to or from Canada, how they would be affected. But if it's worked for them for 20 years, don't you think there is some value there, some value for us? I would submit that maybe we do need to take a closer look at it. Now, whether or not it will work for us and it needs to be reworked, all right, we'll look at that as well. Do you realize what we have coming up with January 1? No, not just January 1. I'm talking about what you have coming up for you and your family in the coming year. Senator South Carolina Tim Scott said, "Do not forget all of the working family tax cuts you're going to be seeing in this next year."
The president is committed to making sure that every single opportunity is on the table. But let's not forget the working families' tax cuts. All the big benefits kick in this year coming. In January, we'll start seeing the benefits of no tax on tips. When you do your taxes, you'll have more take-home pay. No tax on overtime, more take-home pay. No tax on Social Security, more take-home pay. So many of the benefits in that working class tax cuts, they don't kick in until next year. And thank God, we're less than 60 days away from the beginning of a brand new year. 2026 will be the year of affordability.
Wow. And see, that's exactly what Jasmine Crockett was preaching earlier. She said, "We campaign on affordability." No, you didn't. You did everything to make things more costly. And you made every threat possible against the American public to say, if you go the route of Donald Trump, you're going to die in your bed and no one will come get you. Somebody's going to have to give you a pauper's funeral. All of this is going to come to pass as we move into 2026. I remind you again, there could be hiccups. There could be some areas where it does not live up to expectations. There will continue to be debate in Congress going back and forth. Too many so-called Republicans have walked away from holding the line. We saw that when it came to just trying to get everything passed through this last CR. But based on what's going to happen here, these working family tax cuts coming in 2026, you should be happy. Why would you not be happy? Think of what you could do with that kind of money you save. I mentioned this earlier, but I want to let you know again that this is something you might want to spend some of your money on. Are you ready? Are you listening? I pray you do not stop listening once you hear what I'm going to tell you. There is a woke fashion designer. Didn't know that it existed, did you? Well, they do. At the New York Fashion Show, in order to raise money for rams that live shortened, diminished lives because they prefer same-sex partners, supposedly serious, I don't know. They are going to have debuting the wool of gay sheep. Hats, dungarees, dressing gown, sailing hat, all crafted for the show for the wool of exclusively gay sheep. How do they know? How do they know? Is there something different when you look at a gay sheep than other sheep? I've never sheared sheep, so I don't know. I don't know what's under all that once you shear them. This German nonprofit group estimates about 1 in 12 sheep is gay. So they're putting together a gay dating app for Grindr. It put it on the I Will Survive. You get it? I Will Survive. So these gay sheep can be applauded, admired, warmly loved in the wider community. Soon we'll be surrounded by gay sheep clothing everywhere. Just when you thought things could not get any worse. As always, thanks for listening. Please do not forget our pledge. One nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.